Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Guest Thursday, and Kathy has some very special guests that she'll introduce, and then we'll have a wonderful time learning about the life that they're walking with God and how exciting that is. So, Kathy, I'd say, why don't you introduce?
All right. Yeah. So most of our listeners by now have heard many stories on all of my kids. So you're not walking in. You don't know them yet, Caleb and Olivia, but they know you. So that's okay. This is my middle son, Caleb, and his wife, Olivia. They've been married for a couple years. They'll tell you more about that. I am a very proud mom, so I'm just going to let them kind of take it away and share their stories. But God has done and is continuing to do a beautiful work in and through their lives and just the ministry that they have together as a married couple, and what he's doing in each of their careers is a beautiful thing. So let's just let them share.
That's great. Now, where you guys live right now? Where are you at right now?
Well, we live on the North Shore. So we're in Beverly, Mass, just north of Boston.
Okay.
They are walking distance to the beach.
Yep. We're right by the beach. We're right by my train into the city. We're above our favorite coffee shop. It's all the good things. It's a fun little town.
Great. So when you go to work, you take a train down?
Yeah. Yeah. Just I'm hybrid, so only 3 days a week. But I'll take the train in. Driving's a nightmare. So
yeah, that's great. Well, we're excited to hear about your story and learn what you're up to and all the wonderful things you're doing. So first of all, our audience would love to hear how you each came to know Christ. So Liv, if you want to start, how did you come to know Christ?
Yeah, I grew up in a Christian home. We went to church every Sunday. You know, I was 5 when my mom picked me up from Sunday school and said that Olivia accepted Jesus into her heart. So just was one of those faith journeys where it's the grace of God. I kind of was held in his hand the whole time. But really, it was middle school that I came to know what it meant to have a personal relationship with Jesus and walk with him and grow in that. That it was, you know, not just a Sunday, but Monday through Saturday as well. So yeah, middle school was really where I started to dig in into that personal relationship with yeah. Christ.
And where were you? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Pelham, New Hampshire. My parents got married, bought a house, and kind of built onto that house as their family grew. And so I was in one house growing up. They're still there. So Pelham, New Hampshire, there's not many people know of it, but it's a small, quaint little town.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, great. Caleb, how about you? How did you come to know Christ?
Yeah, similar story. I mean, I grew up, obviously, my mom and dad raised us Christian. We always went to church. It was never an option. And I'm sure I had times where, you know, I wasn't like being a great practicing Christian or whatever. But for the most part in my life, I always felt like, you know, I was saved at a very young age and have lived in that. I remember for a while being almost like insecure of that testimony because I knew people in college who, you know, they were doing heroin and then Jesus saved them. I think more and more, especially that I've not yet done any heroin.
That's good.
Yeah. Then I'm very grateful more and more to not really have memories of not living in freedom and salvation, which is, I don't know. I feel very, very fortunate of that. And I'm glad that's my testimony, but it's not super exciting. Not much more to it than that, I would say.
Did you grow up, was it New Hampshire where you are now, or was that place? Or?
For the most part, where my parents live now was the vast majority of my childhood memories. We did a short stint in Pennsylvania, but by the time I was in first grade up all the way through high school, we lived in that house in southern New Hampshire.
Okay, great. All right, so you become believers early and obviously you're growing, going to school. How did you guys meet and what attracted you to each other and how did that go to you getting married?
Yeah, I'll take at least the first part of that. We met in youth group, actually. So I was going to church in Pelham, which is Liv's hometown, and attending the youth group. And I remember I was at youth group, Liv came. And I came home and told my dad, I was like, oh, there's the hottest girl at youth group, which I guess I was dated a few of the different girls at youth group. This one stuck. So we started talking. And then once I decided to go to Gordon College, which is where Liv was already committed to, we started dating soon thereafter. And you can explain your side.
So I moved to that church specifically for the youth group. Mm-hmm. Like my family was looking for a church that had a good youth group. I was feeling like I didn't have a lot of community, Christian community. I went to a public high school. I wanted to surround myself with Christian friends. And so I started going to the youth group when I was 15. That's when we met. And then it wasn't until, so we were there for 2 years, it wasn't until we were 17 that we actually started becoming friends. And we were in a small group together for the fall of our senior year. And I had never dated. And I had like a whole list and I had high standards and I always prayed since like seventh grade that my first boyfriend would be my husband. That was just like my continual prayer. And so when I started like being interested in Caleb, I actually, you know, was super diligent to ask the Lord, like, is this the one? Because I don't, you know, I don't want to get my heart broken and I've never done this before. And so I don't really know what I'm doing, but if I'm supposed to be doing something, let me know. And so that actually was around the time he was deciding on college. I knew I was going to Gordon since sophomore year of high school. And he was talking about, you know, Alabama. And I was like, all right, well, if he goes to Alabama and it's senior year, like December, I'm not going to start dating him to then, you know, do long distance for 4 years. And so I kind of made a pact with God. I was like, well, if he goes to Alabama, I'm not going to date him. And then he, through a lot of series of different things, was led to go to Gordon. And then I was like, all right, God, like, this is the one. And then
why were you led to go to Gordon?
So I wanted to play basketball, go to a Christian college. I was still craving that Christian community, going to a public high school, and I wanted to be close to home. So okay.
Liv won't tell you this, but she was an amazing, still is an amazing basketball player, though. She's a 1,000-point shooter at her school.
Did you play basketball for Gordon?
Yeah, I played my freshman year.
That's great.
Things happen. We can go into that another time.
What position did you play?
Point guard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to have a game of horse sometime. I'm pretty sure. Good shot myself.
Can I insert a little in that story? I won't go too much, but on the two of the meeting and stuff, Olivia came over New Year's Eve that year before they started dating with a handful of friends from youth group and Liv, and Dan and I were in love with her. We were like, oh my goodness, do you think she notices Caleb? Do you think there's any chance? We're having our own little side conversations, hoping that maybe she'll decide she likes Caleb. Because we had heard him talk a little bit about her, and we were pretty excited about this whole potential.
Yeah. So did you start dating then before you went to college? Since you both were going to the same college, or?
Yeah. We started dating maybe February, right, of senior year. We both already committed to Gordon, so we went to prom together senior year, which was fun, and dated all through the summer. And then coming into school, we're dating all through school, obviously, and it was pretty fun because like her roommate quickly started dating a guy at Gordon who then became my roommate. We're still friends with them. So, and our whole friend group, by the time we were all seniors, were like engaged and getting married. One of them had a kid like almost before they were even done school. So it was pretty fun to have that community at Gordon. Yeah. Definitely not a normal like college experience, but it was great.
What did you each major in?
I majored in business administration with a social impact minor.
And I was business administration and double majored in finance as well.
Yep. Okay. All right. And did you obviously dated all the way through college? You know, when did you get engaged and what was attracting you to each other?
Well, the easy one, we got engaged the spring going into the spring before our senior year, right? So actually, well, it's kind of, Liv graduated a full year early. So just before she graduated was when I proposed, because she was going to Africa for the summer to do some missions work. And I was coming out to Colorado, Rich, to intern with you guys. Right.
Yep.
So that was that summer. Yeah. And then what attracted us to each other to get married? Well, like I said, my initial attraction was completely surface level. Just, I didn't have, Liv had the whole litmus test for a husband. Advised very early on from a mentor who is still a great guy. the only two things for guys to look for is that they need to love Jesus and they need to be hot. And those two things work, then please follow, which I think is pretty good advice.
Yeah, like I said, I had a list. but yeah, attraction physically, but just a lot of things. I think his confidence and who he was in Christ, and that was just, you know, so clear to me. He didn't care, you know, who he was around. He was just going to be who he was. I also think his devotion to the Lord, like that was obviously very high up on my mm-hmm. list. I could see his desire to want to pursue the Lord, and that was, you know, his first priority was to seek God in all things. So I was like, that's who I want to be led by. Early on, I could see that in him. Yeah. So that was probably the most attractive thing.
Yeah, too, that I felt like something that during our time in college especially grew us closer was, and I guess from when we met, because like Liv referenced earlier, we led a small group together when we were in high school. That's kind of how we got close. And then when we got to college, there was COVID and stuff, and that messed things up. By the time we got rolled back into normal church rhythm and routine, we got plugged into the church we're at now, which is also where my mom and dad are at, and both my siblings and their significant others are at as well. And it kind of just changed our whole ecclesiology and view on church. And we served together, and we were discipled very early on by a lot of the couples there. And I think serving together and having that church life with someone who is in the same boat with the same just desire to be with Jesus in his church, I think it was really something that grew us, in retrospect, really grew us together, and such that we even got engaged at that church in the coffee shop, and one of the pastors married us and is still a close friend. So that was something that I think was integral, at least in our growing together throughout college.
Yeah. Liv, what did you do the year he was a senior? What did you do? Because you'd already graduated. What did you do then?
Yeah, so I lived at home in Pelham for that fall, and I worked at a chiropractor office as a front desk coordinator, and kind of was wedding planning and lots of drives to Beverly. I worked in Beverly, but lived in Pelham, and he was at Gordon, and so got a lot of miles on the car, but really was wedding planning, and also at that time was kind of thinking about career and what's next, but the Lord didn't reveal that till after we got married.
Well, and that was kind of a fun season too, I think, because God gave her this gift of a season to focus on the wedding. But at the same time, I feel like it was a time you were seeking God and he was kind of sifting through what your desires were for career, but told you you're not really going to focus on this until after the wedding. Yeah. And so it was an interesting gift that he had given you, I feel like, of that season, right? And Caleb graduated a semester after her. So he graduated early as well. So that set their wedding up to be, mid-year of what would have been their full senior year.
Good. So you graduated. Tell us about getting married, and then what career opportunities did you both take?
Yeah, I'll start because Liv's story is more exciting there, I feel like. we got married January 8th. I know that one.
Good job.
Yeah, so I graduated.
Good day to remember.
Yeah. All in like 1 month, I had graduated. We got married. I got landed my job, which I'm still, I'm in a different role, but at the same company now. I don't even remember. There were some other crazy things. Yeah, we got our apartment. Lord was just like providing a lot of things in that season. So we got married January 8th, and we went on a month-long honeymoon because we set up our start date, or I set my start date such that I could kick off in February. So we had this gap from January 8th till February, when we get back the 12th or something like that, and started work that Monday. So that was nice. And then I ended up in investment sales. So I sell mutual funds and largely mutual funds, some SMAs and other things like that. And I really enjoyed it. It's been a good thing. It's funny because I had interned, I referenced earlier, with Rich's company that summer. And all the while, the guy I was living with, just by happenstance, who's my old roommate's dad, had this whole sales side of the investment universe that I'd never heard of. And every night we were talking about it towards the end of my time there. And I was like, okay, well, I'd like to give that a shot here. So tried that, and it's been great. I'm there almost 2 years now, I guess 2 years in February. So really, really good. Yeah.
Great. And you have to take the train into Boston periodically?
Into Boston, yeah. I'm in the Back Bay of Boston, if anyone's familiar. Yeah, 3 days a week, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
It's just cool. Maybe a mile from Anna's campus.
Correct, yeah.
Liv, what'd you wind up doing?
Yeah, so like I studied business. So I started to just apply to all the entry-level business jobs. No idea what I was applying to, but I was like, I'll start somewhere and go from there. But there was a 2-week period of, you know, just feeling just this heaviness as I'm like applying to all these things just in my spirit, just this unsettling. And so I was like, all right, like I got to pay attention to that. Job searching is not fun probably for anybody, but this felt particularly important to pay attention to. And so I started like praying into that. And towards the end of, you know, that 2-week period of applying and just feeling this unsettling, we were at Life Group, and one of our Life Group leaders, he was just going on a tangent, which ended up being God speaking through him to talk to me very clearly. But basically, he was talking about Peter and how, you know, from our perspective, we could disqualify Peter for many reasons for being a great minister and disciple of Jesus. But it was, you know, God called him into it. It was Peter's yes, and then God worked through Peter, right? And mm-hmm. It was through God that he was able to do the things he did in his ministry, not through the power that Peter mm-hmm. had or the skills or the even, you know, his schooling or past experiences. None of that mattered. It was that God called him into it. Mm-hmm. And so he just went through this whole tangent. And I, you know, remember so clearly, like, just felt like God was sitting in front of me, you know, was staring off into the distance, just me and God. And God was just like, I've been calling you into full-time vocational ministry since junior year of high school. In that moment, I could remember back to all these different times. And I had disqualified myself over and over and over again. And so then our life group leader was like, so does anybody have anything? Like, super open-ended. I was like, I feel called into full-time vocational ministry. And Caleb was like, what, what is happening? Cause I hadn't talked about it because I was really ignoring it and pushing it down and disqualifying myself. But anyway, so that night I surrendered to vocational full-time ministry. And then I started asking like, okay, what does that look like? And I remembered my journey, my faith journey, and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, international organization, parachurch ministry that basically does, our mission is to lead every coach and athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. So it's sports ministry. And I grew up going to the camps. And then I started an FCA club at my public high school and did ministry in that way at the high school. And so I hadn't even realized what a huge part that played in my faith journey. And the Lord just started bringing me back to all those memories. And I was like, I wonder, I didn't even know FCA had staff. And so I just looked up on LinkedIn, and the first thing that came up was an area representative for Essex County, which is where we mm-hmm. live.
And the hiring manager was a former Gordon College women's basketball player and coach. Mm. It's just
amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So we immediately hit it off, and it was confirmed by the Lord very quickly.
Yeah. That's cool. So you were, first of all, you were led to consider a vocational ministry, but you didn't really know what it was at that point. Just, right. Okay, you're willing.
Yes.
And then talk a little bit more about how did FCA then kind of come to the forefront? Obviously, God opened that door finally with that opportunity and that person. So that was cool. But yeah. How did you get from, I wonder what it is, to, I think maybe it's FCA.
I feel like it was so natural. I would just pray about it every day. Like, Lord, what's it look like today? Like, mm-hmm. what's next?
Well, this might be so off base, but I think you were on the treadmill and you just saw like a posting for FCA and like, right? Oh. Isn't that what happened? It blink.
Yeah.
Yeah. There. Maybe you can run with that story. That's nice. Sorry, that's a little pun.
Honestly, I haven't really thought about the details of that. I'd like to go back and honestly look through our texts because I remember texting him like, I feel like this is it. And I think I was at the gym running just praying.
Well, her prayer time is often on the treadmill, and she'll yep. close her eyes and fall on the treadmill.
That happened one time. Never closed my eyes right, again. Right, on right, the right.
Yeah, that's okay. It's okay to pray with your eyes open. That's fine.
But yeah, I think it was just, you know, remembering back. Like, the Lord had me remember my own faith journey. Like, that was the big theme. Mm-hmm. what were the stepping stones to where you are now? And that's when FCA was just so highlighted. And then I, like, from there had such a passion for this organization that, you know, helped me in my faith journey so wildly, like mm-hmm. I had never realized it. And so I think through that, I just was like, I would love, you know, to be able to impact somebody like FCA impacted me in that mm-hmm. way.
Yeah. Well, you also, go ahead, Caleb.
It was funny because, I mean, it was kind of an undeniable, like, you had applied to FCA and met with who's your boss now and all that, and gotten to the point where there was undeniable confirmation from the Lord that this is what she was supposed to be doing. So stepped into it. And then she finds out, after it's already been undeniable, that the role is you have to raise your own salary.
Yeah. By the way.
Yeah. Yeah. It was already confirmed, which gave us the confidence to go forward even with that challenge. And then the Lord provided through all that as well. But it was just, it's just funny how God does things like that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think they also, you guys had a lot of community around you also praying into this with you, and a lot of fasting and prayer and questioning and asking and confirming, and both from your life group. They have a phenomenal community around them in life group, just with mentors and other couples in their lives. And then, and I know with your parents and with Dan and I too, lots of dialogue and prayer over all of it. And so it was fun to watch. I feel like it was just so easily confirmed.
Yes.
Right? It wasn't a lot of gray, not a lot of cloudy to it, you know? Yeah.
What exactly are you doing for them right now?
Yeah, so my position's an area representative. And so, like, I started that club in my high school, I'm helping to equip students to do that in their high schools. And so we're one of the only ministries that are able to be in public high schools, giving out Bibles, you know, having Bible study in the actual schools. And so that's my main focus, starting, we call them huddles, in the different high schools in my area, as well as colleges. We have a couple colleges around here, but you know, the heart of what we do is discipleship. And so really looking to connect with athletes and coaches and lead them to Jesus.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. My daughter, Michelle, was the president of her FCA chapter at Colorado State University. And she really loved that ministry. It was great. Well, thank you so much for just giving us a thumbnail sketch of how you came together, got married, and then started your careers. Next time we want to get into, you know, what are some of the things you've learned about walking with God, and any stories you have of how God has been working, as you've already shared about what happened with FCA. I mean, that's just how God works, is that, you know, mm-hmm. I'm gonna give you an impression, I'll give you a heads up. You responded, hey, by the way, I'll lead you to the right place. And sounds like you're having a good time with it. So that's kind of fun for both of you. So Heavenly Father, we do praise you for their life, for bringing them together, for their hearts to follow and to now live out all that you have planned for them of the covenant life, to receive it and give it away. And thank you that they are. And we're excited to hear more, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, guys. Thanks for joining us. And to our listeners, if you have any questions from today's broadcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And tune in next week for some fun God stories on even just how Caleb. Caleb and Olivia practice abiding too, because they really do a beautiful job in abiding together to unity and using that to just know how to walk in the kingdom and walk in what God has for them. So it'd be fun to hear some of your stories.
Great.
We'll see you next time.
Thank
you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos, brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.